Good morning, everybody. We're excited to have you here with us. If you're able, just let's stand to our feet and get ready to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one whose perfect love casts all fear, and the one who deserves all of our worship. Amen.
Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I have.
Thank you. You again and again. Worrying about tomorrow. He's with us today. He said
said he is with us always. He's given your life that you can have it in abundance, that you can enjoy it to the fullest. And there is safety in the shadow of his wings. So love yourself today because he loves you. He died for you.
I know, I meant on here. It doesn't line up with the one on there, and we kept changing. Well, we figured it out, but I wonder if you have to save it like you do on the board.
Yeah. I tested everything.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to have you today. We're going to, at this time, take up tithe and offerings. So if you have something to give today, there's offer envelopes in the chairs in front of you. If you don't see one there, wave your hand around, and one of the ushers will get to you with an envelope. Also, the ushers carry with them prayer cards. So if you have a prayer need, we are a pray-first church. We believe that God hears our prayer, so we simply believe what the scriptures say about prayer, and we take our prayers to him in faith. So if you have a prayer need, go ahead and fill it out. It has a place for a name, but you don't have to put a name there, and we will, as a church, be praying over the prayer needs that come in. So if you grab one of those and fill it out, you can give it to me or one of the ushers, and they'll make sure I get it. But we believe, as a family of faith, how many believe this is your family of faith? Let me see. Okay. Well, one of the things that we do is we bear one another's burdens. And it starts with prayer. It doesn't end with prayer, by the way, but it starts with prayer. And as we pray, we believe that God hears us. He answers our prayers and all the things that, the multiple things that we bring before him in our prayer time, that God is faithful and he is good and he hears us. Amen? All right, so you're giving today. I appreciate it. You're giving to the church. Means so much to us just for the things that we do. But not just that, but what God builds in you as you learn what it means to be a giver. It's not just about the act of giving money itself, but you realize that God is making you into something. You realize he's changing you. And there's a nature and a characteristic that we grow into the more we know him that really we become who he intends us to be. And things that we are asked of in scripture is not, again, not just the act itself, but everything that we do is building something in you. And when you give, it's not just the life of faith, it is dependency upon him as he is our provider, but he's changing you. Because for us to be the light we are to be in this world, we have to carry the nature of Jesus within us. In other words, we become Christ-like. And the one that freely gave to us is, well, simply the way we're supposed to approach the world. In other words, society around us that needs Jesus, well, the Christian faith will never reach them unless we freely give as we are freely given to. Amen? If God can teach you to be generous with your finances, you will be generous with anything. That's a principle of life right there. So as you give today, you're being built into something. Amen? All right, let me pray over it. Lord, we thank you to be able to continue in our worship this morning as we give to you, honor you with the increase of our life. And we prioritize you in all things, including our finances. So, Lord, I pray as we give today, it's a blessing on those that are able to. For the Lord, for those that are struggling financially, yes, it's tough times right now. I pray that you make ways where there seem to be no way. You bless them, Lord, that they have this day their daily bread. But not just that, Lord, above and beyond that, so they can in turn be a blessing to others. And I thank you for the rich provision in all areas of our life that you always in front of us with, including our finances. As we give to the reflection of your goodness, in Jesus' name, we all say, amen, amen.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Hello. Yes, welcome back. Thank you, guys. I was away last week to see my grandbaby, so thanks for letting me do that. So I just wanted to talk to you guys real quick about if you are new here, we have visitor cards. They should be in the seat pockets in front of you. We would love to have just a little bit of information about you. We promise we won't spam you with emails and calls, but we just wanted to have a little bit of information about you. And you could give that to Kelly, which I would have her raise her hands, but she's got a baby right now. She's right here. And also, if you want to know a little bit more about the church, we also have these in the seat pockets in front of you. It just tells you a little bit about who we are, what we believe, those sorts of things. So just some information for you. But also, July 7th is our next water baptism. So if that is something that you are interested in and want to take part in, we have a sign up, correct? There is a sign up at the back, and we would love to. And if you have questions about it, feel free to ask. You can ask Kylan, right? Yeah. But we do have that. So July 7th is the next one coming up. So, all right.
Did you know, on Tuesday, and this is kudos to me for saying this in advance.
Oh,
it's Margaret and I's anniversary.
Yes.
And we've been married 30 years on Tuesday, so I don't know why she's put up with me for 30 years. I don't know. But here we are. 30 years. Now, having said that, I told you last Sunday she went to Tennessee to visit the grandbaby. I did not exist for a whole week. So now, Tuesday, she gets to pay attention to me again. So, anyways, I made it. Anyways. Hey, I have a little a video. Actually, it's not mine, but the Sycamore House for their fundraiser. Can you guys back there play that video for me, please?
God creates miracles from small beginnings. A seedling becomes a home for birds. Five loaves and two fish fed the 5,000, and your coins and dollars added to a baby bottle saves lives. Partner with our annual baby bottle campaign. You can fill a bottle or give online, because every coin, dollar, check, and online donation gives hope, offers help, and brings joy. On their behalf, we thank you.
Well, every little bit counts. So what Sycamore House, this is a yearly fundraiser for them. They give out these baby bottles to churches and ask the congregations take one of these baby bottles and fill it with change or bills if you want to, and then turn it back into the church, which is delivered to the Sycamore House. So if you haven't grabbed one yet, they're at the back door. Pick one up today. These are due next Sunday on Father's Day. Okay, it started on Mother's Day, ends on Father's Day. So if you haven't grabbed one of these, do so today and change in your car, laying around your house, whatever, wherever you can find it. Fill that up and bring it back. We brought ours in today, and I think Sycamore House does an amazing job with what they do in our community, and we fully support them. So if you haven't grabbed one of those, please do so today and bring it back next Sunday. By the way, next Sunday is Father's Day. So happy Father's Day, Dad, a week in advance. But what we're doing is on Mother's Day, we did muffins with Mom. Father's Day, we go donuts with Dad, okay? So next Sunday, starting at 9 all the way up till church starts, we'll have donuts back there for kids to come and have a donut with your dad. It'll be good donuts, so I encourage you to bring grandpas, uncles, whoever out next Sunday morning. We'll have donuts with Dad before church leading into our Father's Day service, so just to make you aware of that. Also, VBS is coming out of Pipe Fast. It is June 23rd, 24th, and 25th, a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, 6 to 8 p.m. each night, and it's for potty trained 4 years old through fifth grade. So if you have questions about BBS, Amanda, wave your hand around. You can see Amanda. A couple things about BBS. If you took a post-it note to donate things towards our needs for BBS, that stuff is like due now. So if you didn't bring it today, bring it Wednesday. Next Sunday, we have to have it because they got to start putting things together. And then also, there is a VBS meeting today right after church for those that signed up to help with VBS. And if you didn't sign up and you want to, because I know the Lord's just tugging on your heart about it, come to the meeting anyways. We'll plug you in. And today's just getting everybody on the same page as what's happening at VBS over those 3 days. So please see Amanda right after church. We'll meet right up here for that meeting. And last but not least, always the fifth Sundays of the year are what we call One Big Family Sundays. And we have a One Big Family Sunday on June the 30th, the fifth Sunday. So all the kids will be with us for service, and that means they help me participate in the message and all different things like that. But that day, there is a baby dedication to close out service. So if you have a little one that's never been dedicated unto the Lord, you can sign up at the back for that, and we'll have baby dedication to close that Sunday out. So I think that's all I need to say. So if you have your Bibles, get them out. It's good to see you. As you can see, families are out vacationing and whatever. So over the next couple months, lots of vacations happening. So pray for families that are out taking trips and driving long distances and getting a break. And I want everybody to be able to relax and rest. And having said that, by the way, Wednesday night, I'm going to start a series entitled Taming Your Time. Now, the reason I'm doing this series was because Margo and I were part of a marriage conference where we spoke at three different churches. And the biggest question we got based on the session that we did was we had families come to us, a husband and wife, and said, can you help us learn how to manage our time? We are just too blazing busy. Our kids are involved in everything. We don't have we have a hard time finding time to catch our breath and learn how to relax. So, based on those conversations we had, I actually shot a small group video series for another church called Taming Your Time, but I'm going to take that and start that series on Wednesday night. So come Wednesday night ready to learn. Every Wednesday over the next 4 or 5 weeks, however long I do it, we'll have some sort of activity involved in it. It's a little bit different than we normally do, but I believe it's important because the question is, does God care what we do with our time? Yes. So that's what we're going to talk about, and some different aspects of responsibility, learning how to say no. Saying no is the biggest boundary maker in your life. And you don't have to do everything. How many ladies you've ever been on Pinterest? Let me know what Pinterest. You don't have to do everything on there. You know that? You can say no. You know, as a dad, you know, and I know moms get involved in this too, but from the time my kids were this big, I'm always being asked, hey, can you coach this recreational soccer, baseball, basketball team? And I coached for a lot of years. I coached high school sports. But yet, there were times I said no because I value time. So we're going to start talking about some things on Wednesday night, taming your time. But James chapter number 1, if you have your Bibles, I hope you brought one. If you didn't, you're allowed to stay. It's okay. I'm kidding. James chapter 1 and verse number 22. I want to talk to you today about being a doer of the word. Amen. James chapter 1. James, the brother of Jesus, leader of the Jerusalem church. If you read Acts 15, he's involved in this discussion of how to the Gentiles come into the church. Do they have to follow Jewish law and these different kinds of things? James is very involved in what's happening in the early church. But James chapter 1 and verse 22 says this. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and preserves that law of liberty, the royal law of love, James boils it down to love, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. That we're not just supposed to be one who hears, but one who does. So Noel, I think I got Noel back there. If you'll throw that first slide up for me, please. Listening is good. Knowing is great. But are you applying and doing? Listening is good. Knowing is great. It's good to know. But are you applying in your life the word that you are hearing? And James writes, there's the blessing comes with that. We'll mention that in a few moments, what that's about. Now, let's just start here. You should be a good listener. To be attentive to the different aspects that the word, in other words, revelation, comes to your life. That because you are a person of the word, you listen when you read. Whether it comes from teaching, like this morning. Maybe encouragement from one another. Maybe even some sort of admonishment. Even the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I'm of the opinion we actually need to be better listeners. It's kind of like the wife who frustratingly said to her husband, I don't think you're listening to me. And his response was, this is an odd way to start a conversation. I mean, he's not paying attention. And she's just frustrated. Are you paying attention to me? And obviously he wasn't. We got to be better listeners. In other words, attentive and open to the word that comes to our life and the different aspects that it does. Listen with our ears, see with our eyes, and catch with our hearts what is being said. Have you ever told you, how many of y'all got kids? Have you ever told your kid, go clean your room? And they just sit there. How many know what I'm talking about? And you kind of say, did you hear me? How many ever done that? Did you hear me? Yeah, I heard you. You ever get that? They may have heard you. They listened. Maybe in a very loose way, they understand what it means to clean their room to some sort of level of acceptance. But although they heard and they know, did they go do it? That's the other thing. What James is saying is he's finding that people hear the word. They even mean maybe have a grasp on what the word is and what it's saying. But are we putting into application the things that we hear? You see, to hear and not do is to fall. I mean, James says it there is to fall into deception. And what he means by that is this, is that if you think that all you need to do is know, then you've fallen into deception. I find that especially believers that are involved in church and you carve out a time to spend in word and prayer, you know, reading the Bible, we're good at, we kind of get good at hearing. We can get good at knowledge. But as James is saying, he's seeing a lot of people that aren't applying and aren't living. You could pass a Bible knowledge test, but is your life lining up with what you say you believe? See that? And it's a challenge not to be in deception that we just need to know, but actually live a life that is, well, in response to the things that we heard. And at really the center of what James is writing in this letter, this encouragement to those around in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas about this, he really wants them to catch this in their heart. It's not just to call yourself a Christian. I'm saved, therefore I have a status. I'm a Christian. Well, that's nice. That's good. I'm glad. But is your life a living testament to what you say you believe? Is there growth happening? James actually puts it a different way in James chapter 2, if you'll turn there. James chapter 2 and verse 14. He kind of takes this thought and puts it this way here. James chapter 2 and verse 14. He says, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things they need for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Well, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. But the demons believe, yes, they believe, and they shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person? James is kind of, you know, he's bringing some force here, that faith apart from works is useless. Was not Abraham, our father in faith, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see, that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when we received the messengers sent them out by another way and sent them out by another way? For if the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Now, again, to be not just a hearer, but a doer, to say you have faith, but then a life that follows from your faith to show that you have faith. Faith without works is dead. Now there are many people that think that James and Paul right here fall into contention. I'll show you why they think that. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Let me just make a couple statements about this before we move on. Ephesians 2, verse 8, this is actually, the verse that sparked the Reformation. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Now, Paul writes that, and many people think that James and Paul fall into contention here. No, Paul is saying, look, you are not saved by doing good things. You can't save yourself. You are saved by the grace of God through faith in him, belief in him, faith that is born because you have heard. Amen. Well, James is coming behind that and saying, okay, yes, that is true, but don't think then that the life you live doesn't matter. Don't think that you can just hear and not do. Don't think you can just say, I have faith, but not a life that follows. That's right.
You cannot be saved by your works, but yet faith in God, a life of faith, will birth in you a life in response to that faith. That's what's happening here. You can't be good enough to be saved, but yet, by faith, you can be changed. Yet by faith, you begin to live a life that you are of faith. Yes, demons believe in God, but it doesn't show up in how they live, obviously. Well, same for you if you don't put into action the things that you are hearing. James brings up this idea that if some among you lack the necessities of life, what good is it to say, hey, I'll pray for you and send them off? Is it good to pray for somebody?
Yes.
Yes. But if you had the means to help somebody in need, then faith and works isn't just prayer by faith, but it's work because of faith too. You see? So when I was, I'm trying to think when it was, maybe junior high, my dad had a stroke. He completely paralyzed on the left side of his body. Couldn't work. But my mom couldn't go work then because she had to take care of him because he couldn't take care of himself. In a pickle, right? So the family, to say struggling financially, completely true. Yeah, they were getting some help with the government, but the church also helped. And there were two ladies in our church that were friends of our family, but both ladies were deaf. And I don't remember how many years in a row, maybe 2 or 3 years in a row, right before school, they took me clothes shopping. They took my sister, then they took my, each individually, then took my brother, then took me clothes shopping. I remember them buying me a new backpack for school, got me some clothes. They just didn't see and say, we'll pray for you, but they had the means to help, and they did. Faith in action is where the Christian life is shown as a light to the world.
Yes.
Now, we're not just hearers of the word to be generous. I heard the word, we're to be givers. That's nice. But what are you doing with what you heard? It's not just to know. But the life that we live is the evidence that God is doing something. See, faith is born in us because we hear. But what are you doing as a result of saying you have faith? And James uses that example of the mirror. It's like seeing yourself in a mirror with actual careful observation, with scrutiny. You see what you look like, but the moment you leave and go away from it, it's like out of sight, out of mind. We hear the word, but for some reason forget to put it into practice. Now see, putting what you hear into practice, knowing that I'm not just a person of faith, but a person of works also, is the same way of saying working out my salvation. It is learning how to apply what I hear to my life in an active way, that my life then is in this transformation. It wasn't long ago on Sunday we were talking about this. From glory to glory to glory to glory. And it's showing up in simply how I live. And James, in his letter, actually sums it up with the royal law of love. That we are to be people who live out love. And he says in that you'll be blessed in what you do. In other words, growing within the kingdom and the reward of being in the kingdom, and certainly our reward to come. And in his letter, some things that he talks about, but it's connected with not just hearing but doing. He talks about getting rid of moral filth. He even talks about not showing favoritism among the believers. He talks about controlling your tongue, living in wisdom. He talks about to quit fighting amongst yourself and learn how to be humble. He talks about learning how to be patient in suffering. All these things that we hear, but are we putting them into practice? Here's my observation. My observation is this, that as Christians, we are often educated way beyond our application. So if somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, now understand, we have Sunday morning church. We come together and worship, and you are taught every Sunday morning, correct? Then there's a lot of you to come back on Wednesday night. And Wednesday night we come together and worship, and you know what happens on Wednesday? There's teaching. We're a teaching-based church. If somebody comes to me and says, hey, I think we ought to have another service during the week, I'd say no. I'd just rather y'all start applying what we're already teaching instead of teaching something else because you're not applying what we're already teaching. It's my opinion. In other words, we're educated beyond our application. I'd rather you grab hold of truth of revelation and to begin to work them out in your life. Because what I know is this, a process that will bring some progress, but it doesn't happen overnight. And it's not easy. I've been saved since I was 17 years old. Just by the fact that we've been married 30 years on Tuesday, you know I'm getting old. I've been doing this for a long time. I'm still applying what I'm learning. I'm still in process. Hopefully to see some progress. I hope that I'm not just a hearer, but I'm a doer also. I hope that I don't just claim I have faith, but there are works that are growing out of the faith that I say that I have. And by the way, it takes personal honesty about yourself in these things. It takes the working of the Holy Spirit to help you and remind you and convict you and show you and reveal things to you, but to be attentive to him so he can. I don't want to be the same person I was a year ago. Amen. I want to be growing. So not just to be a person who hears, but is doing. Now here's the thing about it, though. I think the vast majority of us, we have very good intentions in this. We have good intentions to change. We have good intentions to be godly. We have good intentions to live by faith. We have good intentions to please the Lord. I think a lot of us have very good intentions. But here's a couple things that we've got to think about. A, don't get comfortable where you are.
That's right.
Don't get comfortable where you are, because when you get comfortable, then you get complacent. And complacent can be a whole lot of hearing and not a lot of doing. I'm just comfortable with me. I've done well. Yes, I'm not like I was, and I feel I've come far. I'm just happy with me. But yet, the Holy Spirit is always beckoning us forward in growth. So you can't be comfortable where you are. Not to shame yourself where you are or to think that you're not good enough, but yet Paul says, I continue to press on. So don't get comfortable, but also quit making excuses as to why you can't. Well, I'm just a human. I'm not perfect. You just don't understand me and what I've been through. A lot of excuses. And whenever you start to make excuses for why you can't move forward or a word that you begin to understand that you can't apply, you stop the work of the Holy Spirit to help you go where you know you can't go, but he can take you there.
Yes.
So here's kind of a question to ask yourself. Noel, if you'll throw the second slide up for me. What is the difference between your intention and your actual life action? What's the difference? I think we all have good intentions to be godly, to live by faith, to live in a way that pleases the Lord. We have those intentions, but what is the difference between that and what you actually do? Why is there a gap there? And when you realize you've heard something, revelation, a way to be, something to do, maybe something not to do, you've heard a word, and you have an intention to live in that, but then you find your life over here somewhere, how do we get that our intentions are actually the way we live? How do we close the gap? And this, again, where honesty means a lot. Where to remove complacency means a lot. Where we remove excuses means a lot. I know, scripturally, the Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter 5 that I am to love my wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And I received that word, and that's my intention. But then when I'm over here doing something else, my life action, what am I going to do to close the gap? So the word I have heard, I actually live. You see? I can have a great intention all day long to love her as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I can think that that's what I'm going to do today. But when it's not happening, why? Why have I heard the word, but I'm not doing it? Why do I say I have faith, but the works of my life are not lining up? You see what I'm getting at? There may be a sin that you've struggled with. And you know, when you're tempted in that sin, the word is to say no. Right? That's your intention. And you have all the intention of the world to saying no and not falling into that sin. But yet here comes life action anyways. Why is there a difference? Why have I heard the word but not become a doer? And what do I have to do to close the gap? I've heard the word that when hanging out with people, I shouldn't gossip. I know that's the word. But yet, I'm hanging out with people, and we just fall into just talking about people and their business and end up slandering them. My intention is I'm not going to be a gossiper, but yet, here I am. Why have I heard the word, but I'm not a doer? There's a thousand ways we could talk about this. But when the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes to me and says, you have an intention of loving your wife, but it doesn't show up in your actions or your words or your affirmation or serving her, whatever it is, and he convicts me, that's his way of saying, hey, let's go. Let's do something about this. And it may simply be that you've got to get in the process. It may be that you've got to learn how to start governing yourself with the help of the Holy Spirit. It may be that you need to link up with somebody that can encourage you in those specific things. It may be you get wise to the schemes and the plans of the enemy and start fighting him on that front. It could be a lot of stuff, but get rid of your complacency. I've just been this way for so long. Get rid of your excuses and start to close the gap. Colossians chapter number 3. I want to show you something here. We'll close up. Colossians chapter 3. And verse number 1. It reads this. If then you have been raised with Christ, that's in your salvation. Note, now, what I want you to see in this is the action on the part of the person that Paul's writing to, the hearer of this letter, and the action that Paul is calling to each one of us to. Seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds, action, on the things that are above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, that's in your salvation, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. That happens in your salvation. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, that's when he comes again, you will also appear with him in glory. Watch this. Put to death, this is action, you. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, that's idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too also once walked when you were living in them. But now, watch this, action, put them away. Another list, anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Don't lie to one another. Watch this, seeing that you have put off the old self, that's action, with its practices, and put on the new self, action, right there, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Jew nor Greek, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Here comes some more action. Put on them, other translations have there, clothe yourself as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, if one has to complain against the other, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above on, here's some more action. Put on love, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word, right there's the word, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, action, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. See that? Right there is, again, Paul, he condenses so much in such a short few sentences. We are called to action. The Holy Spirit will grow you and work in your life beyond your understanding in many ways. But yet, part of the plan of the kingdom growing within you is because you are a participant in applying the word that you have heard. To learn to put off what doesn't need to be there and learn to put on what needs to be there. And the activity of you being active and putting off and putting on, the Holy Spirit can do what you can't do in the process to which we're called. That is saying, I'm not just going to be a hearer, but I'm going to be a doer. That is saying, I'm not just going to have faith, but there's going to be a life that flows out of my faith into works in which I'm marked as a believer. But I must be a participant. I must be purposely conscious of this in my life, to be honest. To see where my intention is versus my action of life and start to bring them together. But here's why I know you can. Because the Holy Spirit is who he is. And if you will partner with him in your life, and you will actively, when you read the word and you see something, it jumps out at you, or the conviction of the Holy Spirit grabs you, right then, purposely, mindfully, Holy Spirit, help me to see this in my life. Then begin to live. When you hear teaching from the pulpit, something grabs your heart about it. The Holy Spirit brings a word with it. How are you going to take it and apply it? Not just say, that was a good word today. Good job. To take it with you and to see transformation. To this is what we were called. I want a church of action. Right here. And I'm going to tell you something. As a church, we can do all sorts of churchy stuff. But if there's not a call to action to individuals in our hearts, we're missing the point. You see that? That we're conscious on a daily basis to, again, action, to pick up our cross, action, and follow him. I make deliberate decisions in my life to put off and put on. When temptation comes, deliberate decision to put off my old self and say no. Nobody can do that for you. Right? To deliberately decide when somebody's agitating me, I'm going to respond in love. Govern myself and not respond in kind. I'm going to respond in love. I govern my, and if I struggle, Holy Spirit, help me. Deliberate, conscious decision to live a certain way. Putting off the old self, clothing myself in the things of the Spirit. It takes you. You see, it takes you. Let's be doers of the word. Amen? Let's be doers of the word. Let's be people who not just claim to have faith, but there's works of our life that show it. That is how we're a light in the world. That is how we reflect Jesus in how we live. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand up. We'll close up there. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what you think about me if I tell you we've been married for 30 years and at times we do some things at marriage conferences and it comes out someday that the entire time I was verbally abusing her, neglecting her. Would the words that I've ever said from this pulpit overcome those actions of my life in your mind? Would that happen? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Because ultimately, you know a tree by its fruit, not by what they say, by what you do. You know a tree by its fruit. I'm glad we can all talk a nice game. We learn Christianese. We say the right things. What I want is action. Because it is the actual action of our life from which we will be judged. So just for a minute, I feel like I'd like to pray for some people today, but just for a moment before we do that, if there are certain things in your life where you start with good intentions, but you know you end up over here a lot, I want you to commit those things in your heart to the Lord right now. Lord, you know, here's a struggle. Here's something that I deal with. And you take it to him. And in that prayer, you can say, Lord, no more excuses. No more complacency. I want to change. And I want the fruit of my life to line up with what I say. I want you just for a minute, if you just close your eyes and have a moment with the Lord, to commit those things to Him. Lord, you hear these prayers right now, Lord, and you respond. And you see our hearts. Lord, for those in this moment that are asking for forgiveness, we know that you hear. For those that have struggles, we know that you can help. Lord, for those that in the room that feel far from you, that in this moment you'll draw near. That we're people that are of you. And we thank you, Lord, for your work in our lives. So we commit these things to you, Lord. That we're going to start putting things off and we're going to start putting things on. And Lord, for the times that we fall down, you're going to pick us up. For the times that we feel ashamed, you're going to remind us there's no condemnation in you. For the moments when we don't feel like we can do it, you're going to remind us all things can happen through you. For where we are weak, therefore we are strong. That you're going to guide us with wisdom. You're going to strengthen us. You're going to give us new eyes to see and new ears to hear. That the voice of the Holy Spirit will be very clear and distinct and sharp in our lives. And it's going to be this day by day, week by week, year by year growth. Where our roots are strong. And the fruit of our trees are plenty. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, hear us today. Hear us today. So here's how I want to close out service today. In one sense, I'm going to dismiss, okay? So thanks for being here. Come on back Wednesday, next Sunday. Bring somebody with you. But as I dismiss, you're free to go. If you're here today and you say, I'm struggling. Anybody feel that way? Let me see. Hands. I want to pray for you. So I'm going to dismiss. Samara's going to stay up here and keep playing. I'm going to ask those that would like prayer to come down. We'll spend a moment with you. If you want to, you can come and sit in the chairs and pray for those behind, you know, that have come down. But if not, if you're going to head out, go ahead and head out. It's good to have you today. Be blessed. All right. But if that's you, come on down. And let's close out with that time together today.